Come to order, please. The Senate will come to order for the 73rd legislative day. Will members please vote to signify their presence in the chambers.
The roll shows 15 members present this morning. Senators Duncan, Hensley, and Kelly are excused from the call of the Senate.
Thank you. We do have members present for a quorum this morning. Senator Jones is our chaplain this morning. Will everyone please rise for the invocation?
Heavenly Father, you never fail to be there when we call, responding to our needs and listening patiently to our every request. We thank you for being our provider, protector, and instructor. This morning, as we meet together to make decisions for the people of Alaska, we ask for constant guidance. You've given us the reins of government, so we look to you as our coach to continue to instruct and direct our every step. Shower us with wisdom, not for the sake of being wise, but to enlighten us with your vision that we would govern this rich state as your servants. Help us not to squander or underutilize the resources you've given to us. We ask that as we navigate through these sometimes stormy and confusing times, be our compass, that we would continue to stay on track. Thank you, Lord, for leading us this far. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Senator Binkley, will you lead the Senate in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the certification of the journal, please?
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 72nd legislative day in Senate House Joint Journal Supplement Number 17.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 72nd legislative day in the Senate House Supplement Number 17 be approved as certified.
Without objections, the Senate Journal for the 72nd legislative day and Senate House Joint Journal Supplement Number 17 has been approved by this body. Madam Secretary, will you show the presence in the gallery, or presence in the chamber, to Senator Fahrenkamp and Senator Josephson. Do we have introduction of guests, please? Senator Abboud.
Madam President, we have a number of students from the close-up program with us this morning. I'd like to introduce one from West High and in my district, Priska Emmenegger. She's over there in the, there she is right there. Please welcome her.
Senator Sturgeliski.
Yes, Madam President, I'm delighted to introduce two constituents of ours that we both had an occasion to meet in the audience. We have Mike Debenham from East, the close-up student, and Tobin Thompson from Diamond.
Further introduction, guest, Senator Jones.
Madam President, with us this morning in the gallery is Reverend James Berger from the First Presbyterian Church in Petersburg, Alaska. James.
Senator Eliason.
Madam President, I have a number of close-up students from my district in the gallery this morning. From First Machatham School District, we have Stacy Castellanos, Tracy James, Brenda Patterson, who's a teacher. And from Heidelberg School District, we have Melinda Mandrigan. And from the Southeast Island School District, Bob Dilly from Coffin Cove, Lloyd Bayer from Hobart Bay, and Sonia Ryman from Coffin Cove. Along with them is Dave Ulrich, who's a Long Island teacher. Welcome to the Senate.
Further introduction of guests. We have lots of folks. Senator Binkley, yes, without objection. Senate will stand at ease. Please, Senate will come back to order. We haven't gotten very far. We're still under introduction of guests. Senator Eliason.
I noticed in the far gallery there are a mayor from the borough of Haines, so Bob Henderson. Welcome to Senate.
Senator Binkley.
Thank you very much, Madam President. This week, the Alaska Air Carriers Board of Directors is meeting here in Juneau, and they've joined us here in the chambers this morning, I'd like to introduce them. They're from all areas of the state. In this gallery, John Hajdukovic, who is the president of the association from Fairbanks, Bob Insminger from Anchorage, who's the vice president, Tan Hermans, who is the secretary and treasurer from Bethel, my hometown, the far gallery, Bob Engelbreth and Bob Jacobson, both from Juneau here, right back here, Doug Larson from Fairbanks, formerly from Bethel, back here, Grant Thompson from Barrow, the far gallery, Mike Salazar from Ketchikan, right back there in this gallery, and Marvin Van Horn from Anchorage. Please help me welcome them to the Senate. Also, Madam President, Cindy Anarchuk, from also originally from Bethel, back in the far gallery also.
Senator Halford.
Thank you, Madam President. Under introductions, I have two close-up students from Chugiak, Todd Houston and Mark Cook. And I also have one from Bartlett, Tanya Kalis. Welcome to the Senate.
Further introduction of guests. Do we have messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Madam President.
Do we have messages from the House of Representatives?
Message dated March 22, dear Madam President, the House has passed the following and it is returned. Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 490, State Affairs, an act establishing the Alaska Sports Fund and providing for an effective date. Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 490, State Affairs, has been referred to the Secretary for Enrollment. Message of March 22, dear Madam President, the House has failed to recede from its amendment to committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 410, Resources, namely, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill No. 410, Resources, amended House, an act relating to the operation of state hatcheries and providing for an effective date. The Speaker has appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with the like committee from the Senate: Representative Herman, Chairman, Representative Gall, and Representative Pierce. Senate members appointed March 21 are Senator Eliason, Chairman, Senator Jaroff, and Senator Jones.
Will the Senate stand at ease, please? To order, please. Mr. Majority Leader, on that conference committee, CS 410.
It's the wrong one.
Madam President.
It's the wrong one. Wait till
that's
we
just the message.
Read the wrong one?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you continue reading the messages from the House of Representatives, please?
Message dated March 9. Dear Madam President, the House has passed committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 55, Resources, with the following amendment. Page 7, line 26, after snow machine, add ATV, and with the House Resources letter of intent on page 2292 of the House Journal. And so, committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 55, Resources, amended House, an act establishing the Minto Flats State Game Refuge and providing for an effective date, is returned for consideration.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate adopt the House Resources letter of intent.
Is there any objection? Without objection, the Senate has adopted the House letter of intent to Senate Bill 55, Resources. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill 55, Resources, and thus adopting committee substitute for Senate Bill 55, Resources, amended by the House.
Is there any discussion?
Madam President.
Senator Coghill.
Madam President, I ask that this bill be held for 2 or 3 days. When it first came up to the Senate, from the standpoint that we wanted to make sure that there was access to the state forests in the Tolovana area and also in the Kantishna area. And I've worked with the main sponsors of the bill, and I find that we do have clause in there, and it has been assured that there is access to the state forests, and for that reason, then I ask that we vote for the bill.
Is there further discussion? Hearing no further discussion, the question has been called. The question being, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill 55, Resources, thus adopting committee substitute for Senate Bill 55, Resources, amended House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Madam Secretary, may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, may record the vote. And thus, the Senate has concurred in the House amendments to CS for Senate Bill 55, Resources, thus adopting CS for Senate Bill 55, Resources, amended House, by a vote of 17 yeas with 3 excused absences. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the passage of Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 55, Resources Amended by the House, be considered the vote on effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on final passage of Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 55, Resources Amended House, will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Secretary, do we have another message from the House?
Message dated March 22, Dear Madam President, the House has passed Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 375, Rules, with the following amendment. Page 1, lines 11 and 13, after from, insert a public. Page 1, line 18, after a, insert public. And so Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 375, Rules, amended House, an act relating to licensing school bus drivers and providing for an effective date, is returned for consideration.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375 Rules, and thus adopting Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375 Rules amended by the House.
Is there any discussion? Senator Coghill.
Madam President, I rise in opposition to the amendment from the standpoint that I agree what we're trying to do, that we're trying to get the activity buses from the schools and the private buses out of the structure. But you have to remember that a school child is a school child, and safety is safety. And when we talk about the large yellow school buses in the larger communities that are going to be transporting children, that we ought to have some kind of a safety factor to protect the children. And as what the House has done here is that they've taken all of the private schools out of the requirements of the school bus driver's safety program that we enacted 2 years ago, and I don't think that that's good public policy. I agree with the fact that we ought to have separation of church and state, but when you have the safety factors of the school children are being transported back and forth for school activities, I think it's bad public policy, and I'm going to vote no.
Further discussion, Senator Halford.
Thank you, Madam President. I would point out that there's a bigger issue that the previous speaker addresses, and that is the whole question of commercial heavy vehicle driver's licenses. That is a question that we should address. It's a question that can do a lot of good in terms of highway safety. It is also one of the effective tools to enforce local hire on our roads. But that's another issue that should be addressed in another way.
Further discussion. What is the wish of the body?
Question.
Hearing no further discussion, the question has been called. The question being, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375 Rules, thus adopting Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375 Rules, amended House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. Thus, the Senate has failed to adopt the House amendments to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375 Rules by a vote of 9 yeas, 8 nays, with 3 excused absences. Senator Fahrenkamp.
May we have a brief at ease?
Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come back to order. Senator Halford.
Who's going
to
do it?
Senator Elias.
Madam President, I give notice of my reconsideration. I vote on the Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375 Rules.
Notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 375 Rules. You don't have to ask unanimous consent, sir, to give notice of reconsideration.
I'm going to ask unanimous. I move and ask unanimous consent that we take up my reconsideration of Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375 Rules at the present time.
Without objection, the reconsideration of Senate Bill 375 Rules is before the Senate.
Question.
Madam Secretary, we read the bill, please.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 375, Rules, amended House, an act relating to licensing school bus drivers and providing for an effective date.
Senate will stand at ease. Where's your vote? Senate Bill 375, Rules, amended House, in third reading, or under reconsideration before the Senate. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, the question has been called. The question being, shall the Senate pass Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375, Rules, amended House, under reconsideration? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. Thus, the Senate has passed committee substitute for Senate Bill 375 rules, amended House by a vote of 11 yeas, 6 nays, 3 excused absences, 1 unexcused absence. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the passage of...
No, sir, you can't. Just move the effective date cluster.
Of the last bill, be considered a vote on the effective date clause.
So you can't
leave
do that,
it on the
sir.
Board, because I can't see it.
Senator Halford.
Madam President, I move the effective date on committee substitute for Senate Bill 375, Rules Amended House.
Is there any discussion?
Question.
Hearing no discussion, the question has been called. The question being, shall the Senate adopt the effective date clause for committee substitute for Senate Bill 375, Rules Amended House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. And thus, the effective date clause for committee substitute for Senate Bill 375, Rules Amended House, has passed the Senate by a vote of 17 yeas with 3 excused absences. Madam Secretary, we read the next message from the House of Representatives.
Message dated March 22, Dear Madam President, the House has passed the following and it is transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for House Bill number 323, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Testimony of Children in Certain Criminal Proceedings and Providing for an Effective Date.
This will be referred to the State Affairs Committee, Judiciary, and Finance Committee.
That is all the messages from the House this morning, Madam President.
Do we have communications?
There are no communications this morning, Madam President.
We have reports of standing committees.
The Transportation Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 55, suspending Uniform Rules 41B, 24C, and 35 of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill Number 298. Senator Jones, Chairman, and Senator Coghill signed Do Pass. Senators Abood and Fahrenkamp signed No Recommendation. The committee further attaches a zero fiscal note. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 55 has no further referrals.
Rules Committee, please, for consideration of the calendar.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill 61, Rights of Insured State Employees, and a majority of the committee recommended do pass. The report is signed by Senator Halford, co-chairman, and concurred in by Senators Ewing, Fisher, and Binkley. Senate Bill 61 has no further referrals.
Rules Committee, for consideration of the calendar.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill 337, amending notice requirements relating to the Municipal Assistance Program and providing for an effective date, and a majority of the committee recommended it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 337, Finance, with a new title. The report is signed by Senator Halford, Senator Halford, co-chairman, signed no recommendation. Senator Ewing, Senator Fisher, and Senator Binkley signed do pass. The committee further attaches a zero fiscal note. Senate Bill 337 has no further referrals.
Rules Committee.
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill 442, Older Alaskans Commission and the Protection of Elderly Persons and Establishing the Office of the Older Alaskans Ombudsman, and a majority of the committee recommended it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 442, State Affairs, with a new title. The report is signed by Senator Abood, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Ewing and Hensley. The committee further attaches a fiscal note. Senate Bill 442 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill 468, Ernie Hogan Public Use Area and Providing for an Effective Date, and a majority of the committee recommends the Resources Committee substitute be adopted and do pass. The report is signed by Senator Halford, co-chairman, and concurred in by Senators Binkley, Fisher, and Ewing. The committee further attaches a zero fiscal note. SB 468 has no further referrals.
Rules Committee, please, for consideration of the calendar.
The Finance Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill 219, Finance, transferring and appropriating certain loans, assets, and fund equities to the Student Loan Fund and providing for an effective date, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. The report is signed by Senator Halford, co-chairman, and concurred in by Senators Ewing, Fisher, and Binkley. The committee further attaches a zero fiscal note. Committee substitute for House Bill 219, Finance, has no further referrals.
Rules Committee, please.
The Rules Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 35, Fetal Alcohol Syndrome Awareness Week. Sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 63, opposing the closure of the Stikine Area Regional Supervisor's Office of the United States Forest Service. House Concurrent Resolution Number 40, designating a year of friendship with Finland. And committee substitute for House Bill 279, Finance, effective date add, club licenses for the sale of alcoholic beverages and providing for an effective date. And the committee recommends calendar. The reports are signed by Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring Senator Spakes, Hensley, Binkley, and Jones. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 35, sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 63, House Concurrent Resolution Number 40, committee substitute for House Bill 279, finance effective date added, are on today's calendar. The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill 463, unused airline tickets, and a majority of the committee recommends calendar. The report is signed by Senator Elias and Chairman and concurred in by Senators Jones and Fakes. Senate Bill 463 is on today's calendar. That is all the standing committee reports this morning, Madam President.
Do I have reports of special committees?
Received 8:30 a.m. March 23rd. Conference committee report dated March 22, 1988. Madam President, Mr. Speaker, the Conference Committee considered committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 410, Resources, and House Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 410, Resources, amended House, an act relating to the operation of state hatcheries and providing for an effective date, and recommends that Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 410, an act relating to the operation of state hatcheries and providing for an effective date, be adopted. The committee further attaches a zero fiscal note. The report is signed by Senator Eliason, Chairman, concurring Senators Jaroff and Jones, Representative Herman, Chairman, concurring Representatives Gall and Pierce.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, the report of this conference committee will be on the desk for action tomorrow.
Do we have further special messages?
That is all the special committee reports this morning, Madam President.
Do we have introduction of Senate resolutions?
Senate Resolution Number 32 by the Finance Committee relating to federal regulation of aircraft.
This will be referred to the Transportation Committee.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 57 by the Judiciary Committee relating to the implementation of local hire through improved cooperation between employers and schools.
This will be referred to the Health, Education, Social Services Committee and the Finance Committee.
That is all the Senate resolutions for introduction this morning, Madam President.
Do we have introduction of Senate bills?
There are no Senate bills for introduction this morning.
Well, that brings us right down to the daily calendar, and it's 12:01. Madam Secretary, read the next item on the first item on the calendar, please.
Senate Bill Number 463 by Senator Josephson by request for an act entitled An Act Relating to Unused Airline Tickets. The Transportation Committee considered the bill, and majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Jones, Chairman, concurring. Senators Kelly, Abood, and Coghill. Senator Fahrenkamp signed no recommendation. Negative fiscal note attached. Finance Committee considered the bill, and majority of the committee recommends do pass. The report was signed by Senator Helfer, Chairman, concurring. Senators Binkley, Duncan, Fisher, and Hensley. Senator Ewing signed no recommendation. Rules Committee considers the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Lyson, Chairman, concurring. Senators Jones and Fakes.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 463 be considered endorsed, advance the third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, Senate Bill 463 is before the Senate in final passage.
Senate Bill Number
463. Read the bill.
Senate Bill Number 463, an act relating to unused airline tickets.
Is there any discussion? Senator Joseph.
Madam President, I distributed a briefing paper regarding this bill. Just briefly, when I was asked about this matter, I found that airline tickets are mentioned in the Unclaimed Property Act, and airlines are supposed to be accountable for unused tickets. That requirement doesn't really comport with the fact that unused tickets may have been issued for flights with an understanding that they would be used on particular flights at particular times, and so their value is, as an item of the passenger carrier contract, reduced to nil or significantly reduced if the passenger does not use the ticket when it was issued for.
And in other cases, according to testimony, tickets may have been actually used or redeemed, but not picked up through because of data entry mistakes. I think the committees that have heard this bill believe that small in-state airlines, unless relieved of the record-keeping burden, will have to purchase additional equipment or secure or suffer additional personnel costs. I think that this bill will relieve the airline industry of an unnecessary nuisance, and that the imposition of the requirement really predated the development of discount and frequent flyer programs, which have special restrictions on the use of the tickets, and I urge the passage of the bill.
Is there further discussion?
Question.
Hearing no further discussion, the question's been called. The question being, shall Senate Bill 463 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. Senate Bill 463 has passed the Senate by a vote of 17 yeas with 3 excused absences. Madam Secretary, read the next item on the calendar, please.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 279, Finance, effective date added by the Finance Committee, an act relating to club licenses for the sale of alcoholic beverages and providing for an effective date. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considers the bill and recommends it be replaced with Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 279, CNRA, and due pass. The report was signed by Senator Strzelczyk, Chairman, concurring. Senator Jaroff, Samantha, Kelly, and Halford, zero fiscal notification. Finance Committee considers the bill and recommends it be replaced with Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 279, Finance. Senator Halford, Chairman, and Senators Ewing and Fisher signed, due pass. Senator Hensley signed, no recommendation. Zero fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Lyson, Chairman, concurring. Senators Fakes, Hensley, Binkley, and Jones. There are two committee substitutes.
Senator Halford.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent the Finance Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objections, the Finance Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 279 has been adopted and is before the Senate. Madam Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 279, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to club licenses for the sale of alcoholic beverages and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move to ask unanimous consent that Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 279, Finance, be considered gross, advance a third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objections, the Finance Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 279 is before the Senate in final passage.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill 279, Finance, an act relating to club licenses for the sale of alcoholic beverages and providing for an effective date.
Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, the question's been called. The question being, shall the Finance Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 279 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. The Finance Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 279 has passed the Senate by a vote of 16 yeas, 1 nays, 3 excused absences. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the passage of Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 279 Finance be considered the vote on effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on final passage of Senate CS for CS for House Bill 279 Finance will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Secretary, we're on a roll now. Would you read the next item on the calendar?
Senate Bill number 339, an act relating to tobacco products, which was read a second time yesterday before the Senate with the Judiciary Committee substitute offered.
Senate Bill 339 is before us. The Judiciary Committee substitute has been offered to the Senate. Is there further discussion on the adoption of the Judiciary Committee substitute?
President, really just the main thrust of the Judiciary substitute is that unsupervised vending machines will not be allowed. That's the main thrust of the adoption substitute.
Mr. Judiciary Chairman, will you move the committee substitute, please, sir?
I apologize. I thought it was a motion before us. Excuse me. I move and ask unanimous consent that the commission. The Judiciary substitute be adopted to Senate Bill 339.
Without objection, the Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 339 has been adopted and is before the Senate. What I'd like to do is call a brief at ease and temporarily relinquish the chair to Senator Lyson in order that I may participate in any debate that may come up on Senate Bill 339.
Senate, come back to order, please.
Sure. Secretary lead the committee substitute.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 339, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to tobacco products.
Are there any amendments?
I have four amendments. Just a minute while I find them. Amendment number one has been withdrawn by the sponsor, so we'll go on to amendment number two. Amendment number two by Senator Fanning, page one, line 10, delete, being 19 years of age or older.
Senator Fanning?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number two.
Are there any objections? There is an objection. Senator Saroff?
Mr. President, may we just have an explanation on that?
Senator Fanning?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the amendment is a very simple one, and of course it amends existing law, and it simply makes it so that it would be illegal for anyone, that is, that anyone would commit the offense of selling or giving tobacco to a minor, instead of just as the current law reads, only those who are 20 years or only or older are guilty of that offense. In other words, today it's perfectly legal for an 18-year-old or a 17-year-old to sell tobacco products or give tobacco products to a minor. I think that by the adoption of the amendment, of course, we make it across the board equal for everyone, and more importantly, we strive at what the legislation, I think, is correctly intending to do, and that is to diminish the opportunities and the incentives that we have for minors to purchase or obtain tobacco products. And so the amendment simply makes it so that if anybody sells tobacco products to a minor, regardless of their age, they would be guilty of a violation. Now, for the purpose of the body, or for the information of the body, we checked relative to how that's handled, if it has an effect on juvenile law or whatever, and it does not. It's a simple violation. And a violation is a non-criminal offense. It's punishable only by a fine and not by imprisonment or any other penalty upon conviction.
Thank you. Thank you. Senator Catula?
Mr. President of the Senate, the amendment does pick up a loophole in the present law. The judiciary substitute to, nor the original act intended to amend that section of the law. But I think it's a good amendment, and I'd support it.
Senator Fakes?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Amendment number three, specifically, which hopefully we will have offered before the body, would specifically close the loophole that the senator from Fairbanks, the junior senator from Fairbanks, has alluded to, which a store clerk, 18 years of age, under current law, right now, under current law, could sell tobacco products to a minor. Amendment number three closes that loophole without making a sweeping change to the current statute, which is what amendment number two would do. So I would ask the body to not vote for amendment number two, but instead wait for amendment number three, which would specifically close that loophole that the senator from Fairbanks did correctly find, sir.
Senator Fanning?
Thank you, Mr. President. The previous speaker, I think, is only partially correct. As I understand and read amendment number three, amendment number three applies specifically to store clerks, to employees. The amendment that before you states that on a school grounds or anywhere, it's illegal for anybody to sell tobacco products to a minor. And I think that properly and completely closes the loophole that's there. I might add for the additional information of the body that we have several other instances in state law. If there are those who, this concern hasn't been raised, but if there are those who are wondering or worrying that if a four-year-old child picks up a cigarette and hands it to another minor, that then they would be guilty of the violation. We have many instances in state law where that applies today, for example, the littering laws or anything else. We don't make any age discrimination on those laws, and I think that if we really want to get at what the heart of this legislation is intended to do, and that is to stop young folks from purchasing, or from more specifically from people selling or giving them tobacco products, the amendment that's before us is the proper way to do that. That does not mean that we don't agree with at least portions of amendment number three, which would also be beneficial. But amendment number two should first be adopted.
Senator Josephson?
Madam President, I understand it.
What?
Not Mr. President.
Thank you.
As I understand it, the amendment number 2 is necessary because if we adopt amendment number 3, the sentence would read, and without adopting amendment number 2, the sentence would read, an individual being 19 years of age or older, or an employer commits the offense of selling or giving tobacco, etc. And so we have to strike the phrase that's in the Senator from Fairbanks amendment.
Senator Fakes.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't know if it's in order to discuss Amendment Number 3 when it's not even before us, but the way I would read it, if we did not adopt Amendment Number 2 and did adopt Amendment Number 3, that starting on Line 9, Section 1176-100 would be selling or giving tobacco to a minor A, an individual being 19 years of age or older, or an employer commits the offense of selling or giving tobacco to a minor if, one, the individual or an employer of an employee of an employer, et cetera, knowingly sells, exchanges, et cetera. Now, the difference, I mean, the major difference here is Amendment Number 3 corrects the loophole that was found, which means that if you are a store clerk and you are 18 years of age, under current law right now, you could be selling tobacco and tobacco products to a minor right now. Legally. All right. So Amendment Number 2 does correct that, but Amendment Number 2 also makes a very sweeping change in judicial law in the state that it would allow if a 16-year-old resold a pack of cigarettes to his friend, they would be in violation and they could legally be fined for that in juvenile court or anywhere else. And I'm just wondering if this body wants to do that kind of broad brush change to the current statute right now. That's the negative aspect of it. If the body wants to do that, to make it a violation for one 16-year-old to give a cigarette to another 16-year-old or to resell a pack of cigarettes to a friend, if they want to make that a violation, then you adopt Amendment Number 2. If you want to clean up the loophole in the bill and not get into the larger issue of any minor reselling or selling cigarettes, then you would not adopt Amendment Number 2, and you would look seriously at Amendment Number 3.
Senator Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. President. I concur with the sponsored legislation's perspective. I think that's the policy call before us. And it seems to me that if it's good to impose a fine of up to $300, and that's basically what you're doing, writing a ticket for $300, on an individual 19 years or older for selling tobacco products, then it ought to apply to the full spectrum of our society at any age, so that if you have a person 17, 18 years old who is supplying tobacco products to a youth or a minor, then they ought to be fined just as well. I mean, that's I think, what the senator is saying is the policy call, and I have to concur with, I think, the maker of the amendment, that consistency should be the rule and inconsistency should not be the rule, because it won't take people very long to figure out if you're 17 or 18 years old and you want to be the supplier of cigarettes at a high school and there's no loss at all. I mean, we're going to be pulling the vending machines and so forth out of the high schools and the school areas, I assume, wherever they're picking them all up at. And some guy's going to be setting up his van over there at East High or wherever in the parking lot, distributing tobacco all day long out of it at 16, 17 years old. I think that we ought to be able to bag them. So that's the reason that I think that we ought to adopt the amendment.
We're going to brief at ease. Senate, come back to order, please. Senator Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. President.
You brought this up.
I don't wish to break up the spirited debate, but may we return to introduction of guests?
May we, without objection, return to introduction of guests?
Thank you, Mr. President. In the gallery behind me, it's indeed a pleasure for me to introduce to the body a constituent that's down here from Kodiak, as an employee of KMXT, a public broadcasting. They're down here attending the public broadcasting hearings, and I'd like to introduce one of the employees from the Kodiak station, Charlene Parent.
Senator Zara.
Thank you, Mr. President. And sitting next to Charlene, there is a familiar face that we see around the halls every once in a while, another constituent, Representative Davidson.
Are there any further introductions? Back on the subject. Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. On the subject, I think we've gone a long way beyond the motion before us in debate. I think it is entirely appropriate to state that there is another motion which will be made to deal with the same subject. However, I think the proper way to handle it would be to either adopt or not adopt this amendment, knowing that the maker of the next amendment could delete this amendment with the other amendment. And that would be the sequence which would be, I think, more logical in handling the two amendments at the same time. I don't think they should be amended at the same time.
Thank you, Senator Halford. We have allowed a lot of latitude on this because amendments do interrelate. Is there any further discussion, Senator Abood?
Thank you, Mr. President. Maybe we ought to just call in at ease and call number two, number three, and number three, number two, and get on with it. However, I'd like to ask a couple of questions regarding this age of 19. You've got people out on the bases. Does this apply to the bases? This is a statewide deal. Is the federal government excluded from this by chance? What about the NCO clubs? I don't think you'll find many guys in there that are 22 and 23. I think you're going to find them about 18 and 19 in that area. What are you going to do about the Army? What are you going to do about those individuals who happen because of a nervous system or something of that nature that is already smoking an 18-year-old? What is the legal age of a minor? 18 years old or is it 19 years old? I've got a lot of questions on this. It just seems to me that we're setting a minor age up to 19 years old, and if that be the case, I suppose it's all right. But it just bothers me to see us taking... Take the Army, for instance. Look at the young men in the Army. They're smoking. And I think they are smoking and they're chewing. If you were in the Army, you'd probably smoke and chew also. But the other point of it is, you've got kids in baseball that they come on out there and they got a wad of chewing tobacco in their the national game of baseball. You gotta chew a little to get out and see the ball. Now think about what we're doing on this thing. Think about Price Savers, for instance, in Anchorage, where they've got tobacco products that you bring tears to your eyes up there. What's to keep one of these guys, where's the enforcement on it? But you're going to make that store owner liable if that kid buys something. I think we're going to have a lot of lawsuits on this thing, personally.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, through the chair, question to the maker of the amendment, how would this amendment affect those people who are 19 years of age or younger who are working in grocery stores as bag boys, et cetera?
Do you care to reply, Senator Fanny?
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Chairman. It would have no effect over the current law, Mr. President. Anybody today who's 19 years or older commits the offense of selling or giving tobacco to a minor if they do that. And so it's illegal today to sell tobacco to a minor in a store or any place else. The amendment simply, and speaking to the previous speaker, relative to an employee in an NCO club or any place else, it's against the law. First of all, it's against the Alcohol and Beverage and Control Board laws relative to a minor working in an establishment that sells liquor, but it's against the law today for anybody to sell, anybody who's over 19 to sell tobacco products. This amendment would make it illegal for anybody to sell tobacco products to a minor. And it's just a very simple, straightforward, and consistent amendment which will get at the heart of what I think the legislation is intended to do, and that is reduce tobacco usage by those who are minors.
Senator Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think the previous speaker is somewhat in error. This would not make it illegal on a federal base for people under 19 to have tobacco in their possession or even sell it. As I understand it, federal bases are always exempt from state law. Even in the health situation, the state does not go in and inspect the restaurants on federal bases. That's a federal obligation, not the state. When we have age 21 or whatever it is for liquor, you can still consume on a base under that age. The state does not go in and say to the serviceman, you cannot have alcohol because our law says this. And I would assume the same law or the same procedure would apply to federal bases on alcohol.
Thank you, Senator Fisher. That's very helpful. Senator Szymanski.
Well, let's try to clear the smoke up
on this a little bit. First of all, it's not illegal from the cradle to the grave to smoke. I mean, any age, you can smoke today. We passed this law, and all the amendments, I think all the amendments, from the cradle to the grave, you can smoke all you want. You can go to those school grounds that I described, and you can smoke. The trick is figuring out how to get the tobacco, because that's what we're making outlaw, illegal under this. And if you're a military person, 17, 18 years old, you've got one vehicle open to you without adopting this amendment. You've got to go to juveniles in order to purchase your tobacco, because if you're 19 and older, it's illegal to do it. So I appreciate the remarks of the military senator from Spinard. He's probably right. We do have 17, 18-year-old military people serving, but if you adopt the amendment, you're closing off that window of opportunity for them to purchase tobacco. I happened to, at the last at ease, speak to an East High student in the gallery and some other students, and they indicate that, well, there's not a lot of sales going on. There certainly is a lot of trading going on and distribution on the school grounds, so I assume we're going to bag them underneath that angle if we adopt the amendment. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? The question being, shall amendment number 2 be adopted? Senators may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? The secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? The secretary will record the vote. And so amendment number 2 has been adopted by a vote of 11-5.
Amendment number 3 by Senator Fakes has been passed out. It starts on page 1, lines 9 and 10, and it ends with page 2, line 3.
Senator Fakes?
Yes, Mr. President, I wish to withdraw amendment number 3, sir.
Are there any further amendments?
Amendment number 4 by Senator Fanning. This has been passed out, too. It starts on page 2, line 6, and ends with B.
Senator Fanning?
Thank you. Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of amendment number 4.
Are there any objections? Senator Fakes.
Just so the body knows what amendment number 4 is, and just so I understand what amendment 4 is, this now would make it illegal to smoke from the cradle to the grave, up to 19. This is now making it illegal, as the junior member from the Donut District previously argued that it is now legal. This amendment would now make it illegal for anyone from the cradle up to 18 and 99% to smoke.
Senator Abood.
Mr. President, this particular amendment, number 4, would take the National Guard and those soldiers out there, make it illegal for those people that are not 19 years old, the 18s, all that group of 18 years old, to be restricted in this state. It would also prevent the Army, because it says in this state. Now that land of the federal government or the NCO clubs or anything else, Mr. President, is in this state. It is not in another state. And therefore, by this, I can understand where the problem lies. Yes, if you want to do it, but it's got to be, it should be worded different than this. So I don't think I could go along with that, because you're starting a war with the military, and believe me, I think we're going to be in real trouble on this.
Senator Fisher, once again.
One more time. The way I see the amendment, that Senator Abboud is right. If the military goes off base, then these do apply. If the military is on base, then they do not apply. So we can say all we want, purchase of tobacco. Okay, so when they go off base, they cannot go out and buy, if they're 18, they cannot purchase cigars, tobacco, whatever. So what they'll do is they'll buy it on base, where these laws don't apply.
Senator Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a pleasure to have an opportunity to speak for my amendment.
You're out of order. Continue.
The amendment does not, as previously stated, say anything about prohibiting anybody from smoking. The amendment states very clearly that a person, a minor, who purchases tobacco is guilty of a violation. That's what the amendment states. It's the thrust of all of the testimony on this legislation that one of the biggest problems we have in this country with cigarette smoking is that people have a tendency, as minors, to develop a lifelong habit, and therefore we want to try to prevent that. And while those folks are minors, if you want to prevent that, you don't blame a vending machine owner. You don't blame a drugstore down here, because today the same students that were here earlier have done a little survey. They've done a little research. They've done a little homework. And as was presented to us in the Hess Committee by the sponsor of the legislation, it's quite possible today to run around all over Anchorage and all over Fairbanks and elsewhere and all over Juneau, we found out today, and have minors walk into establishments and purchase over-the-counter cigarettes. So the current state law, Mr. President, is not accomplishing its goal. Changing whether or not where vending machines are is not going to affect that law. What is going to affect the law is to place the burden and place the onus on those who are purchasing the tobacco products. And I know, because I asked them, the same miners who went in for the purpose of proving or not proving whether or not our local merchants were in fact enforcing existing state law would not have done that had the violation been on them. Had they have been guilty, just as the store owner would have also been guilty. We're talking about equal justice here, and it seems to me that if we're trying to prevent minors from obtaining tobacco, that you don't just find those who are selling them. You send a message to the minors. You send a message by sending out an effective law, one that does what it's intended to do, and if they're violating the law, then they're less likely to do that. Currently, it's legal for them. Let's have this amendment makes it so that it would be a violation if they purchase a cigarette, a simple violation. And I don't want to get between my two military people, so I don't really know the state or federal laws, and I'm not going to get in on that one.
Judiciary Chairman, Senator Kadula.
Radical change. Of course, the hypocrisy of the whole thing is that we sit around here and blow cigarette, tobacco smoke, and pipe tobacco at the kids anyway. They're involved in the secondary experiences, which are probably quite as harmful to their health as smoking. Ridiculous.
Senator Abboud.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just I'm going to conclude now after I get through with this one. I asked a young fellow who's 18 years old, who's a smoker. I said, if this law passes, what would you do? He says, I'll move to Wyoming. The second thing that I'd like to tell you is that there is no fiscal note on this, is there? But if this amendment passes, there will be a fiscal note.
And you're going to have identification cards for all of these people. And how are they going to get it? If we're going to enforce it, they've got to have ID cards for all those kids, 16, 17, and 18 years old, to show identification when they go into Price Savers or Costco's or a drugstore or any place else to buy one, to get it. You're going to have to show identification. The guy says, hey, I'm 19. He says, let's see your ID. Well, I don't really have it. He can't get ID because he can't buy any booze, can't buy that. He's got to be 21 years old to do that. And those people have identification cards. So now we're going to, we have a real fiscal note on this thing.
Senator Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not going to support the amendment today. I think it's an interesting position, and maybe it should be worked out as a clean bill and go through the committee process. But I've got a couple of concerns about it. First of all, the author says that this is a matter of equality. Well, it's not. If we're going to look at it as equality, we're going to pass another penalty or violation on people just because of their age. I mean, and I don't know that that's the way we want to go. Just say that I don't know how that's going to be received in a teenager population to say, here's something else you can't do because you're underage. And when you're 19, and Senator Abood made the point, and if you show your ID, you can do this like we can. I mean, I don't know that that's very useful. So if we're talking about equality, I'm for the bill as it is. Let's see how it works in discouraging smoking. And then let's take a clean look, or those of you who will be here next year can take a clean look and see whether you want to go this next step. But I'm reluctant to take the next step. And frankly, I don't know that it would be useful, because we may just be creating by this amendment a situation where we produce something that makes smoking more cool, more in, more suave, if you like. And I think we should just leave it alone, pass the bill as it is, and take this up as a separate issue.
Senator Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I'll be brief. I have to point out that the clerk has to check anyway, because the clerk is guilty of a violation if he sells to a minor. So I suspect that the clerk ought to be checking, because by current state law and by this legislation, any clerk, any place that sells to a minor is guilty of a violation. The only thing that happens today is that the minor doesn't care, because the minor doesn't get penalized. This amendment would make it so that the minor also cares, not just the clerk, not just the person doing the selling. You know, it's interesting to me. I can't believe that we as a body believe that littering in the state of Alaska is more important than the health of our children. In effect, that's what we're saying if we vote no on this amendment, because it is illegal today, even for a minor, to litter. But it's still legal for a minor to purchase cigarettes and other tobacco products. Mr. Chairman, I think the amendment would solve that inconsistency and would send a very clear message to our youth.
Question. Senator Szymanski.
Well, I can see the smoke's clearing. I just want to say that I support the amendment, because I think it does move that one step closer. We're going to eliminate the sales side of it. We're going to eliminate the purchase side of it. And I may even look at this as being a pro-agricultural bill, because the only thing we've got left is the people who want to grow it for their own consumption. So obviously there's some angles from this that look pretty good. And again, I took a little poll of my close-up students who indicated that they have no problem with seeing it passed. And so obviously it looks good to me. And if somebody wants to be cool and suave and pay $300 fine, so be it.
Senator Fakes.
Just to let you know, the close-up students were directed to monitor this particular bill through the process this week. So it's kind of special that it's on the floor.
Thank you, Senator Fakes.
Question.
The question is, the question being, shall amendment number 4 be adopted? Senators may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? The secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? The secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President,
Senator Baboud.
It's my vote.
The secretary will record the vote. And so, amendment number 4 has been adopted by a vote of 11-5. Are there any more amendments?
I have no more amendments.
Good. Senator Fakes.
I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 339, Judiciary, as amended by the body, be advanced to third reading and placed in final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary will read the bill.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 339, Judiciary, amended, an act related to tobacco products.
Discussion?
Question.
The question being, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 339, Judiciary, amended by the Senate, pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Has any senator failed to vote? The secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? The secretary will record the vote. And so, committee substitute for Senate Bill 339, Judiciary, amended to the Senate, has passed the Senate by a vote of 13-4. Senator Fakes.
May we have a brief adieu, sir?
Thank you.
Secretary, read the next item on the calendar, please.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 63 by Senators Jones, Elias, and Jaroff and Fisher, opposing the closure of the Stickeen.
Senate will stand at ease, please. Thank you, sir.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 63 by Senators Jones, Elias, and Jaroff and Fisher, opposing the closure of the Stickeen Area Regional Supervisor's Office of the United States Forest Service. State Affairs considered the resolution. The majority of the committee recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Boud, Chairman, concurring. Senators Fanning, Ewing, and Josephson. Zero fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring. Senators Fakes, Hensley, Binkley, and Jones.
Are there any amendments?
No. President.
Yes, sir. Mr. Majority Leader.
I call the Senate.
We have our 15th vote in the floor, sir. Do you still wish to place
that
call?
I remove the call.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that sponsor substitute Senate Joint Resolution 63 be considered and goes advance to third reading and place in final passage.
Without objection, the sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 63 is before the Senate in final passage. Madam Secretary, read the bill.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 63 opposing the closure of the Stickeen Area Regional Supervisor's Office of the United States Forest Service.
Discussion.
Question.
Hearing no discussion, the question has been called. The question being, shall the sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 63 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary, may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, may record the vote. Sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 63 has passed the Senate by a vote of 16 yeas, 3 excused, and 1 unexcused absence. Madam Secretary, read the next item on the calendar.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 35 by Senators Binkley, Hensley, Jaroff, Sturzelewski, Elias, and Josephson, Coghill, Rohde, Kelly, Ewing, Duncan, Helford, Fanning, Fisher, Zemanski, Fahrenkamp, Kurtula, Fakes, Jones, and Abood, relating to Fetal Alcohol Syndrome Awareness Week. The State Affairs Committee considered the resolution and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 35, State Affairs, new title and due pass. The report was signed by Senator Abood, Chairman, concurring. Senators Ewing, Hensley, Fanning, and Josephson. There are fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring. Senators Fakes, Hensley, Binkley, and Jones. I have a committee substitute.
Senator Booth.
I move and ask unanimous consent committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 35, State Affairs, be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objections, the State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 35 has been adopted and is before the Senate.
Committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 35, State Affairs, by the State Affairs Committee, relating to Alcohol-Related Birth Defect Awareness Week.
The
bill is before us for discussion.
Question.
Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. I know it's been a long morning, and I don't wish to take up a lot of the body's time, but I really do feel compelled to just talk briefly on this legislation. As it says, it is a resolution that would set aside the week of May 8th as Fetal Alcohol Syndrome Awareness Week. Most appropriately, that May 8th is also Mother's Day. Fetal alcohol syndrome is really a very terrible and disabling condition, Madam President. And it wasn't too many years ago that I really didn't even know what it was. And we held some local option hearings around the state of Alaska, and there was some testimony in one village from a mother of an adopted fetal alcohol syndrome child, and I was very compelled by that testimony, and I'd like to just share it real briefly with the body, Madam President. I have an adopted son who is affected by the syndrome. He weighed 3 pounds when he was born. One of his lungs was collapsed. They had a tube inserted into his lung. They can't speak for themselves, but you can look into a kid's eyes, and the shape of their eyes tell you that they're fetal alcohol babies. A doctor told me my son will never be able to go to college and learn things that most people learn, because he doesn't have the mind to receive those things. And I think whatever work it takes or whatever expense it takes, it would be well worth it to try and fight this abuse that goes on. Madam President, I was very compelled by that woman's testimony and the plight that she was in and the real tragedy that her son will have to grow up with. Many of the authorities now believe that in Alaska, fetal alcohol syndrome is the number one cause of mental retardation. And it's a problem that's of particular concern to Alaska Natives. More than 4 out of every 1,000 babies born to Natives in Alaska have this defect. And in addition to that, it's estimated that for every child born with fetal alcohol syndrome, there are over 10 that are born with fetal alcohol effects. They're less severe, but still very debilitating birth defects. Madam President, even moderate drinkers, those who have 2 drinks or so a day, have an 11% chance of having a baby born with fetal alcohol syndrome. Medical authorities are now advising complete abstinence from alcohol during pregnancy. And the real tragedy in this, Madam President, is that there is no cure. If you were born with fetal alcohol syndrome, you are affected with that affliction for the rest of your life. But it is 100% preventable. If you abstain and do not abuse alcohol during pregnancy, your child will not have fetal alcohol syndrome. Madam President, there's a history of alcohol abuse, or those with a history of alcohol abuse really need support from all of us, from fathers, from the community members, from friends, from family, from social service agencies. And I'm hopeful that by focusing on the threats of alcohol to the unborn child during this week, that we will be able to help provide support for those pregnant women during pregnancy. Thank you, Madam President.
Further discussion? Question. Further discussion? Question. Questions been called. The question being, shall the State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate concurrent resolution number 35 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate concurrent resolution number 35 has passed the Senate by a vote of 15 yeas, 3 excused, and 2 unexcused absences. Madam Secretary, next item on the calendar.
House concurrent resolution number 40 by Representatives Donnelly and Kopanen, designating a year of friendship with Finland, designating a year of friendship with Finland. State Affairs Committee considered the resolution and majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Fanning, was signed by Senator Boud, Chairman, concurring Senators Fanning, Hensley, and Josephson. The Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Lyson, Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Hensley, Binkley, and Jones. I have an amendment number 1. Amendment number 1, line 26, after Hendrickson insert and Yelmer Kuntula, after many insert and other.
Senator Lyson.
For the passage of amendment number 1.
Without objection, amendment number 1 has been adopted by the Senate. Are there further amendments?
I have no further amendment.
Are there any discussions? This is a concurrent resolution. We do not have to move from second to third reading. We do have 14 on the floor. Question. Senator Boud.
I'm sorry, Madam President. I didn't hear that. The amendment number 1 was to HCR 40, which is a resolution
Yes, sir.
And it has in here one of our illustrious senators.
Yes, sir.
Is this, I can't remember this happening before. Is this procedure normal? Is this something different?
Mr. State Affairs Chairman, the amendment was offered in good faith before the body. The body unanimously adopted it. Everything is proper and above board, sir.
Well, I hope an Irish one comes up, because I sure want to be mentioned in it.
Further discussion? Question has been called. The question being, shall House Concurrent Resolution Number 40 as amended by the Senate pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator fail to vote? Madam Secretary, may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, may record the vote. Thus, the House Concurrent Resolution Number 40, amended by the Senate, has passed the Senate by a vote of 14 yeas, 3 excused absences, 3 unexcused absences. Senator Josephson.
Madam President, may I just inquire, following Senator Abood, by inserting the name John Mercutula after Wayno Henderson, are we distinguishing him from many distinguished members of the Alaska legislature? Is that a different set of people, or is he also both named by name and a distinguished member of the Alaska legislature?
Senator Eliason.
Pauline Lang says, and many other distinguished members.
Is there further discussion? Senator Szymanski.
My vote on Senate Bill 339.
Notice of reconsideration on 339 has been noted. Further. What's the next item on the calendar, please?
Honoring Dromedy, Senators Sturgiluski, Ewing, Szymanski, and Fakes. Honoring Millie Andrini, Senators Josephson, Szymanski, Sturgiluski, and Fakes. In memoriam, Anne E. Carroll, by Representatives Kopanen, Boyer, Davis, Frank, and Miller. Senators Fahrenkamp, Fanning, Coghill, Szymanski, and Fakes.
Discussion on the citations. Senator Josephson.
I would ask unanimous consent that my name be shown as a co-sponsor of the Dromedy citation, please.
The Dromedy?
Yes.
Without objection, Senator Josephson will be shown as a co-sponsor on the Dromedy citation. Is there further discussion? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I would ask unanimous consent that the citation calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations on today's calendar have been approved by the state senators. Their unfinished business. Senator Fisher?
I've been asked unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, this morning's prayer will be spread on the journal. Senator Fisher?
I also move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call to House on April the 15th for state business.
Without objection, Senator Fisher will be excused from the call of the Senate on Friday, April 15th for state business. Senator Halford, sir.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Bill 455 relating to safety equipment for commercial fishermen has a $21,500 fiscal note. I would ask that it be referred to the Finance Committee as an additional referral.
Is that Senate Bill 455, sir?
That's Senate Bill 455.
Senate Bill 455 will have an additional referral to the Finance Committee due to its fiscal note. It deals with equipment on commercial fishing.
Safety equipment for commercial fishing.
Thank you, sir, very much. Senator Zara.
Thank you, Madam President. I hope that bill moves there. We just lost another boat with three lives on it. So, yes. Madam President, I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused, not subject to a call of the Senate March 28th, which is the next Monday.
State business, sir?
State business.
Without objection, Senator Zara will be excused from the call of the Senate on Monday, March 28th for state business. I would really like to compliment the body for coming and checking the calendar and being concerned about the quorum. It's working a lot better with your attendance, and I really appreciate it. Further unfinished business? Announcements? Senator Sturgiluski.
Yes. Rise and shine. There'll be a meeting of the Senate Joint Committee on Economic Recovery at 5 p.m. Thursday, March 24th, Butrovich Room. Your offices have been notified.
Senator Fisher.
The Senate Committee will meet today at 3:30 to 5:30. It is posted what we're taking up, but I do want to call your attention to a specific bill, and that's House Bill 380, an act creating the state aid for school construction, establishing a school construction policy task force, and providing for an effective date. As you may recall, we waived the five-day rule so that we could really cooperate with the governor's office on this particular bill. And that'll be coming up probably at 5 o'clock.
Senator Abboud.
President, today, even though we have a late hour, we are going to meet at 1:30. I'd appreciate the attendance of the committee members. Senate Bill 285, an act relating to leave for district court judges, SCR 11 relating to political advertising on the date of an election, SB 3344, an act relating to general contractors and certain contracts to state agencies and political subdivisions, and SB 327, an act relating to oil discharge contingency plans. Also on Friday, we're hearing one bill and one bill only, and that's Senate Bill 273, an act authorizing gambling enterprises and providing for an effective date, and this is a statewide teleconference.
Further announcements. Senator Coghill.
President, today in the Butkovich room at 1:30, and I realize the hour's late, but we can get a fast lunch. We're going to have Senate Bill 482, which is the mariculture bill, and we're going to be talking about the land policy and the policy between the tidelands and the permitting of the areas. And so I suggest that any of the senators attend.
Senator Halford.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Finance will be continuing as soon as people can get something to eat and get up there. We have the tort reform legislation in the committee. Somebody's come down from Anchorage to testify on that and had to cancel a number of appointments. So if we can keep, if we can possibly keep a quorum of four people in Senate Finance, we will then be able to go on to tomorrow's schedule, which is all the agricultural bills in the Finance Committee.
Further announcements? Special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Thursday, March 24th, 1988.
Without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 11 a.m. Thursday, March 24th.